There's a phrase I love, which is that any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. And I've always loved technologies that are so incredible that the first time you show them to people, they're just like, their mind is blown. They're like, how is this even possible? And Oculus is one of those. As that experience develops and becomes more interoperable, you can start to see the breadth of use it will have in the real world.
Have you hit a wall when it comes to growing your business? Then welcome to the Wingnut Social Podcast, helping home professionals and luxury brands accelerate their success with proven marketing strategies and expert industry practices. Now, here's your host, Darla Powell.
Hey there, welcome to the Wingnut Social Podcast. I am your host, the Grand High Poobah of all things at Wingnut Social. And today we are talking about some really geeky and exciting stuff. We are talking about the metaverse and its impact on the interior design industry, architecture, and yada, 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 the home industry. Some seriously, seriously great stuff is coming down the pike for us guys with this metaverse. And I don't want you guys to be the blockbusters of the interior design industry. We're going to be the Netflix. And today's guest, Tom Pucco, is going to tell us what we need to know to at least get our feet wet and to wrap our mind around the concept of what is possible in the metaverse and how it's going to impact our industry. But before I get into my interview today, we have some housekeeping. Okay, as you guys know, we have started a monthly webinar series, last month's webinar with Linda Holt, where we discussed all about show-stopping iPhone or smartphone, I should say, photography for your design portfolio, blew the roof off of Zoom. So this month, on March 24th at 11 a.m., the fabulous Stacey Martin of the Freshmaker Interior Design Firm is going to walk us through her tips, tricks, techniques, and strategy that amazingly gets her a 95% approval rate for her interior design presentations. Amazing. If you guys missed her episode, episode 250 of the podcast, go check it out. Run, don't walk. She gave us so many great takeaways, and now she's going to demonstrate it via a webinar so you can actually physically see and visualize the steps that she goes through to create her design presentations that make her clients oh so happy. So head on over to wingnutsocial.com/webinar. To get more information, or you can follow us on Instagram at Wingnut Social to stay tuned for the deets and get reminders and all that there such. We look forward to seeing you. All right. You guys know what time it is.
It's time for mini news sesh. Yeah.
This week, we welcome back again, Alicia McAfee, social media manager at Wingnut Social. Alicia, how'd you get stuck with two in a row?
I don't know. I would prefer to say that I got lucky. I didn't get stuck with two. I got lucky and got two in a row. So here I am.
Again. It's because you're so awesome. That's it. Alicia, today we're talking about Instagram again, and we're talking about Reels. What's going on there?
Obviously, Instagram has really been pushing Reels lately, and they are making it easier for everyone to create them.
Okay.
So Instagram is actually testing a new feature, and some users are now able to go into their story highlights and there is a Reels icon at the bottom and you can just tap that and it turns the story that was in your highlight into a Reel. So you can just sync music and stuff, but it kind of gets you started. And I think that that's a really cool feature.
That's really good idea because there's kind of a little bit of a barrier to entry there for interior designers. They get intimidated when it comes to how do I create a Reel? They get a little bit overwhelmed with the features there. So that's really good. You can just tap on the stories that you've curated and send it to Reels. Super easy peasy peasy to get that going. And I don't have it. I don't have it yet. I am not one of the lucky people that they're testing that on, but I want to be. I do have some highlights in there I'd put on there. That'd be pretty cool.
I know. I can't wait for it to roll out for everyone. I think it's going to be super great to kind of repurpose some of your content that has already performed well in the past. And it's easy. I think it'll make Reels more enjoyable.
I think that's one of the biggest pains in the butt is just people don't have the time to learn how to do the Reels or to do them well. So I like that. And everybody's pretty much curated highlights. I like that a lot. I can't wait to see that.
I'm right there with you.
All right, cool. Short and sweet. Be on the lookout for that. Instagram Reels from Story Highlights. Increase your engagement, increase your creativity, and repurpose some of that content that you worked so hard to get in the first place. Thank you again for joining us, Alicia. You killed it 2 times in a row.
Thank you.
Mini new sesh. Yeah.
Now it's time for my interview with Tom Pucco. But first, I have to tell you all about him. Tom Pucco is a British entrepreneur who's been working in digital innovation since 1998. A graduate of the University of Oxford, he founded digital creative agency Hyper in 2005 before selling it in a $10 million deal to Enero Group. Since then, he's founded interiors brand Feather, without the E, FEATHR.com, a marketplace where artists monetize their artworks as wallpapers and fabrics. And most recently, he's created Metaverse Interior Design, the world's first interior design marketplace for the metaverse. Wingnuts, help me in welcoming Tom Pucco to the show. Hey there, Tom Pucco. Welcome to the show. How the hell are you?
I'm the hell good. Thanks very much. Yeah. Good to be here today, Darla.
The hell good. That sounds like a Viking name. Tom the hell good.
It's my middle name.
In the green room, you were telling me that your name, Pucco, actually means hunting knife in Finnish. Is that true?
Yeah, it's actually a special kind of knife that the Finns used to carry with them. Like when they were kind of working in the woods, you could whittle with it, skin a moose, do everything with it. So That's and my surname these days.
Of course, you do all those things.
Oh, yes. Daily. Right. I'm whittling now. Yeah.
So today, Tom, we're talking about a really fascinating subject of which I know virtually, see what I did there? Nothing about. We're talking about the metaverse and how it's going to impact and affect the interior design industry, the architecture industry, what that looks like for designers, architects moving forward in the future. And you have a very firm foothold in this space because of your Feather.com metaverse for interior designers. Tell us a little bit about that before we dive in, because I have a ton of questions and I'll be honest, I don't know what I don't know, but there's designers out there listening who are just chomping at the bit to learn what the future is going to look like for them with this.
Well, it's a very exciting time at the moment. I've been working in digital technology, media, and culture since 1998, so since the kind of first dot-com boom days. And I feel kind of more energized now by what is happening, because I feel like the next stage of the digital evolution will be something which is much more human and interactive and exciting and expansive. Feather started as a marketplace for artists to monetize their artworks as wallpaper and fabrics. And so we have built up a lot of understanding of how to build marketplaces for the interior design world. And then last year, we started thinking about what could that mean in the context of the metaverse? How will that start to change the interior design world and the architecture world? The gap in the market, the opportunity and the need that we started to understand is that interior designers and architects are, like many people, very busy. They're not necessarily particularly tech savvy. Many of them are working in smaller companies, sometimes even sole traders. They lack kind of support teams. So what they would need is a way to take their work into the metaverse as simply as possible. And that's what we're creating with Metaverse Interior Design, which is a marketplace for interior designers and architects to sell their products and services to people who are building spaces in the metaverse. But I also think it might be good to take a step back and talk about what actually is the metaverse.
Well, you read my mind, because that is my question. I mean, here's my knowledge of the metaverse. For Christmas, I received an Oculus Quest 2.
Okay, awesome.
It is so much fun. It is really, I love it. And when I first started using that, I was like blown away by the immersive experience. It is just so crazy. And then when you take that off, you're like, oh my God, the real world kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's
but
terrible.
My issue, right, in comparison, but my issue with it is I get kind of nauseous. I get a little seasick with it. Just my own experience. But that is it. That's my total understanding of the metaverse. I know that there's NFT, non-fungible tokens and stuff that work with it. So how can you tell us what the metaverse is in terms that we can understand easily?
when people say metaverse, they have wrapped up three kind of separate developments into it. So the first one is 3D worlds. So the vision for these is that they will be real-time rendered spaces where you can synchronously interact with high volumes of people and live a digital life. So execute your digital life in a way which is richer and more engaging and more entertaining than if you were on a 2D platform like a desktop computer or your mobile phone. And the expectation is that you will do that through some form of headset. So Oculus is fantastic, or something like the Apple extended reality headset, which is launching in 2024. I should be very clear, that vision of the metaverse does not yet exist.
Okay.
What we currently have are essentially proto metaverses, the kind of the early inklings of what is appearing. Now, they're still 3D worlds, but they have limitations. They lack interoperability, so you can't move from one world to another. If you're in the US, you might have access to the Meta, as in Facebook Meta, world called Horizon Worlds. You can't go from there to Decentraland. You can't go from Decentraland to the Sandbox. They are separate bubbles. They are lacking in some of the elements around functionality and experience. The rendering isn't particularly great. If you've seen screen grabs of Decentraland, or you've been to Decentraland, it's kind of underwhelming. If you remember an experience called Second Life from the 2000s.
Yeah, I do, vaguely.
Yeah, it was a kind of a big thing that, or a big piece of news that never actually took off. It was essentially an early metaverse, and Decentraland is 15 years later down the line, but the experience is not particularly improved. And with the current metaverses, you tend to access them through often a desktop. But they have the kind of seeds of what will become the future kind of richer three-dimensional metaverse experiences. So that's kind of one aspect of the metaverse, which we'll come on to more what you can do in those worlds from a architecture perspective later on.
So Decentraland and Sandbox, those are their own contained little universes in this metaverse realm that you go in, you can do things, do activities. Am I correct?
Yeah. So they're 3D worlds that look a bit like a gaming experience. You're kind of moving through a three-dimensional world with an avatar. And within these worlds, you can currently do almost all the things you think about in the real world. There's entertainment, casinos, nightclubs,
oh, wow,
art galleries, but execution isn't yet at the quality where you're kind of lost in them and blown away, as you might be if you put on an Oculus Rift.
Right, right, right. Let me ask you, Tom, what is the point of the metaverse? What's the end game here? Are we headed towards a holodeck experience?
Well, I think you nailed it with your reaction to the Oculus Rift for the first time, which is, okay, wow. There's a phrase I love, which is that any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic, which is an Arthur C. Clarke quote. And I've always loved technologies that are so incredible that the first time you show them to people, they're just like, their mind is blown. They're like, how is this even possible? And Oculus is one of those. So as that experience develops and becomes more interoperable, you can start to see the breadth of use it will have in the real world, like in the for people to live their digital lives. So whether they want to interact with friends, whether they want to have meetings, whether they want to go shopping, everything becomes richer if you can do it in three dimensions. I think the coronavirus lockdowns have given a great example of how technology can change. So prior to corona, video calls were not the dominant form of communication. If someone probably over the age of 40, 45, 50 was probably doing most of their calls as voice calls. Now, suddenly, everyone video calls all the time. Voice calls are kind of dead. And beforehand, if you'd asked these people, they said, oh, no, I don't need a video call. But you do it, and suddenly you understand the richness of the experience. The same will happen with three-dimensional interactive metaverse experiences, that people will say, no, I don't need it. And then there'll be a tipping point where suddenly people go, ah, I get the benefit now. It's like real life, and I can do things, and I can interact, I can see human emotion, I can connect more with people, and those will be the real benefits of it.
That's a great analogy. Even for the business, for Wingnut Social or for sales calls or meeting calls with every, it's for me, I have to have video. Phone is the second. And before the pandemic, it was the opposite because I would be too shy to be on video. I didn't really, but now, I mean, look, my hair's out of place. I don't care anymore.
Your hair looks great.
Oh, thank you so much. You're so kind. Let's talk about how the metaverse is going to be useful for us as interior designers and architects and creatives in that way. What does it mean for our industry?
There's some immediate usages and I think some really long-term, exciting, fundamental changes to how architects and interior designers can work. And I'm actually going to start with the long-term changes first. So far, digital technology has allowed architects, interior designers to, you know, connect with customers, sell more, market themselves. But it's kind of been a way of kind of like a transactional channel. Where the metaverse becomes so fascinating is that it needs to be built. And it's currently being built. And the people building it are not the right people to build it because they are coders. They are devs. They don't have an understanding of how spaces and subjects interact. They don't have an understanding of how proportions can change a building. They don't have an understanding of color theory. They don't have all of the knowledge that architects and interior designers are trained with. And I was actually on a call yesterday with someone who described a lot of the execution of metaverse spaces as gimmicks, kind of what they are now. It's a bit like walking down, you know, a teenager's vision of a Las Vegas strip. It's really overblown. It's kind of neon. It's everything dialed up to 11. There's no subtlety to it. The metaverse won't just be about architects or interior designers kind of finding a new way to show things to customers. They'll actually be the people who should be creating the spaces and should be actually designing the spaces. And so it becomes a whole new potential business stream, a whole new revenue stream. And because there's no limitation in terms of the potential volume of the products you can put into the space, suddenly rather than an architect, you know, designing a plan for a single client, which they then, you know, sell their time and that's their business, suddenly they can be making models they can sell multiple versions of. They become content creators. So the whole business model for an architect could potentially change to being more of essentially a brand in themselves who is selling spaces that tens, hundreds of thousands of people might be buying. It's a huge, huge potential change. And the same goes for if you're a product designer who might be a furniture designer who might be selling high-end furniture. Suddenly, your audience opens up from being a smaller audience of buyers to a much wider global audience without any of the issues of supply chains, logistics, delivery, all of that kind of stuff.
Very good point. That's been a huge issue. Okay, So Tom, just let me walk through this through my mind. So in the metaverse, I know people are buying, I'm holding my finger up in air quotes, real estate. They're building houses in the metaverse. Would this look like something like for now in the real world, a client will pick up the phone, call my interior design firm to go design their house in the real world? Is this person who's just bought this real estate in the metaverse, who's building a house in the metaverse, going to call the metaverse designer to go in and design their metaverse house with product? Is that, I'm simplifying it, but am I understanding this?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a bad simplification. I think the question will be, if you've bought some space in the metaverse, where do you then go to find the talent? And that's what we're actually creating with Metaverse Interior Design, which is the destination to find those services and to buy the products. Now, I doubt it will be a phone call. I think it will be done remotely, but the principle is the same.
What skills would an architect and an interior designer need to have in order to take advantage of this opportunity?
It's many of the same skills that they already have. I guess the big challenge in moving between real world design and metaverse design is understanding what are the technical limitations of space, which each world has their own set of technical specifications about how 3D models can work. But it kind of boils down to this phrase, which is low poly count. So 3D models that architects will make in the real world tend to have a very high poly count because they're hugely detailed. The ones that go into the metaverse have to be simplified. Otherwise, the skills are essentially the same. It's understanding the creative vision of the client. It's understanding the space that you are working within, so the land space you're working within. It's understanding the usage of the space. It's understanding the kind of the end goal of the space. But where I think it gets super fascinating for architects and interior designers, that the limitations of the real world, all the boring stuff, you know, building codes, fire regulations, gravity, a client's budget even, the size of a client's space, all of those things go out the window with the metaverse. So people will be buying, and are already buying, much more conceptual ideas. The idea that you will buy some space in Decentraland, build yourself a 4-bed detached house, that might be happening now, it won't happen in the future. People will be looking for spaces that are truly creative, conceptual, that simply couldn't be built in the real world, but within the metaverse, they can exist. And some of the first pieces of architecture to be put into the metaverse, things like the Mars House, are purely conceptual. They are artworks as well as being architectural spaces.
Wingnut Social is now accepting full-service clients for social media management. If you are overwhelmed and don't know what, when, where, or why to post, or even if you're just too damn busy and don't want to spend your precious $300 an hour design time on Facebook and Instagram posting ineffective content, then head on over to wingnutsocial.com. Hiring Wingnut Social is a no-brainer, and I'll tell you why. Because you're going to have your very own digital marketing team for your firm without the payroll taxes, the workers' comp, the health insurance, the 401ks, the sick days, or the drama, or the headaches. And we are the very best at what we do. And that is no joke. You can go check out the reviews, wingnutsocial.com. Real marketing, real results, wingnutsocial.com. Okay, so would an interior designer need to... See, this is what I'm trying to wrap my mind around this. Need to know code or, you know, that to that level? Or how are they getting their designs? This is a dumb question probably, but how are they getting their designs or their into the actual home or the metaverse or their product design into this? This is my barrier to entry mentally.
Right now, they don't need to know code, but they need to have a fairly advanced understanding of how 3D models work. If they have that and they have space in a metaverse, then they should be able to move a 3D model from the real world from a desktop computer, essentially from a CAD type program into the metaverse.
I see. Light bulb just went off in my head. Okay, keep going.
The main challenge being how do you take, because obviously for real world clients, the 3D models go as close to realism as possible. In the metaverse, they have to be, at the moment, simplified. So that's the kind of creative challenges. How can you take a 3D model on that journey or take a scheme on that journey? And there are tools to do that. Blender, for example, Unity, but they might not be, at the moment, in the portfolio of tools that all interior designers and architects are using.
So if you have a skill set where you're out there doing 3D renderings now, if you're using SketchUp or Chief Architect or any of those tools, you're way ahead of the game.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't have those personal skills. I always hired people that did. So that there was my disconnect right there. So that is fascinating. What would you say, Tom, to the designer listening to the show that's like, I'm not going to need to do this. My business is always going to be in the real world. Nothing's going to come of this. Or they're sitting on the fence. What do you say to them so they don't become a blockbuster?
Well, I'm kind of hoping that they're retiring in the next 10 years. Because otherwise, okay. If they are, then probably they're fine. But otherwise, okay. They will start to quickly find their business being eaten by the new platform development. In the same way that, go back to start of this previous decade, 2010, 2011, Netflix was still sending out DVDs. That was their model. Now, Netflix is the place to go to for video entertainment online. It's kicked off cinemas, kicked off everything. Many people did not predict that 10 years ago. And the metaverse has the potential to go on the same journey. So it's time to just start experimenting. Go into a space, get an Oculus Rift, just start to learn about it, get a feel for it, become like a native in these spaces, not someone who's just kind of outside and visiting as a tourist.
So do you think we have 10 years? 10 years to to hang on to the real world before we have to get into the metaverse and start making money, or by then it'll be too late?
I think with Apple launching their extended reality headset 2024, you know, that means give that 5 years to get mass adoption, maybe less, like the iPhone did, launched 2007. By 2012, it was dominant. I think that will be the game changer. And of course, the early adopters of things like the Apple headset will be the wealthy, those who have the money to spend on interior design and architecture, and therefore the people who are likely to be the clients of interior designers.
If you're a wealthy client in the metaverse, and let's say, you know, it's the latest, greatest thing, and you're spending a lot of money and hiring an interior designer to design your space there, do you think there could be a reverse bleed over back to the real world once they find you in the metaverse? Wouldn't that be ironic?
Yeah, I think that's totally possible. And I am very sure at some point in the next kind of probably 3 years, there will be the first architecture firm who started purely doing metaverse design, who start to do real world designs. There'll be that kind of flip back, that echo you get from new platforms. And at that point, everyone will go, okay, now it's here.
This is amazing. So how do we access the metaverse? What do you recommend for the designer or the architect or listening to just get started? Where do they go to get their feet wet in it? Is it something like an Oculus Quest, or are we going to somewhere else?
I say two things. One is you can access Decentraland very easily, just online. Google it. You have to create a profile, and you'll go in there and you'll start to see the potential. You'll probably see the limitations as well, but at least you'll start to know kind of how these spaces work. Then I would say to everyone, either buy or just borrow an Oculus Quest, and then you will see the potential of the metaverse in a few years' time. And you'll also start to see the potential even of it now, because there's another version of the metaverse we haven't really talked about, which is what you can do on an Oculus Quest already, which is you can have meetings with people, you can visit three-dimensional spaces. They're not true metaverses. There's no real-time rendering. They're kind of stored as, you know, in the memory of the Oculus. There's no synchronous communication with vast amounts of people, but you can visit what looks like a pretty realistic version of a house, of a home, of a room. And then you start to realize, okay, this is how I could start to display work to my clients. Like, maybe the future of meetings is not showing them a SketchUp model. The future of meetings is, I'll see you in the Oculus room I've created. And then once you've interacted with items within using an Oculus, you also start to realize quite how incredible the tactile and haptic feedback is. So if you were presenting, say, a range of chairs to a client, they could pick them up, spin them round, sort of get a real sense of their dimensionality. So those things can be done now. Those things are available to people pretty much if they just go into go online store, buy an Oculus today.
I've actually considered that because my team works remotely. And I thought, how fun would it be to have meetings in the metaverse or, you know, using the Oculus? I think that would be super fun. Or I could see that if you're having a consultation with a client or showing them product instead of doing a Zoom meeting or a phone call, that would be super, super fun. But do you have any recommendations for not getting nauseous when using it? Because I love it so much, but I can only do it for so long.
That's one of the limitations that some people do get affected by motion sickness. My expectation is that the hardware will be improving massively, and we will look back at these current Oculus headsets as kind of a, almost a kind of cute, slightly laughable beginning to be so chunky. But there's no way of, unfortunately, avoiding that motion sickness that some people get. So if it affects you in real life, it can get you in the virtual world as well.
I'm going to try Dramamine the next time I play.
It might well work.
See if that works. Tom, is there anything that I've forgotten to ask you on the subject that you think the audience needs to hear before we get into the What Up Wingnut round?
Well, we haven't talked about NFTs and crypto. I'm not sure if that's relevant to this particular podcast, but it often comes up in context of the metaverse. And the two are separate. The metaverse can exist without all these Web3 technologies of blockchain, NFTs, cryptocurrencies, but they have become deeply interlinked because as people start to live life, a digital life in a 3D world, I think there's a desire to have more control over the assets you create and the information you give out, and the blockchain allows for that. But where it has benefit to architects and interior designers is the possibility to start to sell versions of their products, whether they're models, architectural models, or whether they're products for the metaverse that can be sold as NFTs and become a new revenue stream.
Is that how that works when you are selling product? Let's say I wanted to design furniture for the metaverse. Is that considered a non-fungible token? Is that actually an NFT? Is that what we're talking about?
NFT is essentially a certificate that says, I, as the buyer, own the only version or number one of a limited edition of X of this particular digital asset. So you could sell digital products into the metaverse just, you know, via normal currencies, license them to people, but they can be then much more easily replicated. So an NFT essentially gives protection that as the buyer, I have the only version of this that is allowed. So it sort of adds an extra level of security for the buyer.
I see. And cryptocurrency, I have some cryptocurrency. I have Ether and I have some Bitcoin. Will that be the currency of choice in the metaverse? Can you still use dollars? Can you still use euros? How is that working out?
It has to be. If you are within a metaverse purchasing somewhere like Decentraland, then you have to have cryptocurrency, Ether for Decentraland. Other metaverses are launching their own cryptocurrencies. So I'm sure there'll be kind of a diversification of the cryptocurrency world. And at some point, I'm sure there'll also be one cryptocurrency that kind of becomes the gold standard, the dollar that is usable across them all.
Right. And what that's going to be, we are all waiting with bated breath to see and invest in.
Oh, actually, I know it already. It's super cheap right now.
What is that?
Buy it.
Doge?
If only I knew it. I would not be here now. I'd be buying there, buying loads of it.
I know. I'm hoping. I'm just sitting on that, my Bitcoin and my Ethereum, and like, okay, go. Let's see what happens. It's super cool. I mean, there's so much to learn. There's so much to dive into. I mean, we don't have enough time to really get into everything. But I thank you so much for helping me to understand it a lot better than I did a half an hour ago. So, Tom, now I have to ask you if you're ready for the What Up Wingnut round.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's time for What Up Wingnut.
Tom Pucco, what would the hashtag on your tombstone be?
I think it would have to be hashtag your account has been suspended.
Love it. You're stuck on a deserted island, but you can have your one favorite food forever. What's it going to be?
That's going to be easy one. Sushi. And when I run out of rice, there's going to be a lot of fish, so I can just switch to sashimi. Happy forever.
All right. Smart. Last but not least, please recommend a book that has had a profound impact on you, either personally or professionally.
This is a super hard one because there's so many. But in the context of this podcast being kind of about business and marketing advice, I would choose Jim Collins' Good to Great. There are many, many business books and business advice books out there. Most of them are just extended blog posts. Good to Great is based on empirical evidence. It's fantastic. Once you read it, you will understand how to make any company grow and succeed.
Love it. Putting it in my Audible queue right now. Tom Pucco, please tell the audience where they can go to find out more about Feather and how they can get into the metaverse.
So if you want to check out our artist wallpaper and fabric business, you can head to feather.com. It's spelled F-E-A-T-H-R, like Flickr. We lost the final E, feather.com. And then if you want to visit our early stage metaverse business, head to metaverseinteriordesign.com. where you can sign up to create a profile. We'll be launching the full business within about the next 2 months.
Awesome. And if you are unable to write that down right now, you can go to wingnutsocial.com/podcast. That will all be in this episode in the show notes for Tom Pucco. Tom, thank you for joining us. I really, really, really appreciate it.
Hey, it's been a pleasure, Darla. Thanks.
I am going to go grab my Oculus Quest 2, take some Dramamine, and give this another shot. Seriously. Well, that is serious. I do get motion sickness with it. I didn't the first day I got it on Christmas, but I think that's because I was kind of drunk when I was playing it. Didn't really care. You know, Christmas Day, you know, a little bit too much eggnog there. But in all seriousness, it is fantastic. I never imagined that it would be as amazing as it is. And Tom Pucco did mention there's limitations. It's not perfect. Some of the renders or some of the graphics, I guess you can say, in there are really basic. I actually got into a bar fight in the metaverse, and you can punch people and stuff, but it is kind of basic. But still, if you let your imagination go in some of this stuff, it is really immersive. There's one game where I was swinging from rooftop to rooftop in skyscrapers, and I missed and swung into a wall, and I had to lay down on the ground because the feeling is like legit, like you're falling. So I can only imagine that in 5-10 years time, it's going to be incredibly realistic. And people are in there having meetings. People are in there building their dream homes. And Tom had a terrific point. These aren't architects. These aren't interior designers. These are just nerds who know code. They have no idea how to make buildings. And the possibilities are endless. You can have rooms where gravity doesn't apply. You can design anything your little heart desires and sell those services to people in there who are making this their, well, literally their second home, literally and virtually their second home. I just think it's a whole new world. It's a whole brave new world out there. So head on over to feather.com/metaverse interior design, or just Google feather.com metaverse interior design. Go to the show notes, wingnutsocial.com/podcast, and that will all be in the show notes so you can check out the deets on that. I just think it's a tremendously exciting thing. If you're selling your business in 10 years or you're retiring and you don't want to get into it, don't worry about it. That was another takeaway. Don't forget our webinar this March 24th at 11 a.m. with Stacey Martin, where she walks us through her method of creating design presentations in such a way that she gets a 95% approval rate from her clients. That is crazy. You don't want to miss that. wingnutsocial.com/webinar. That is it for this show. We will see you next week. Remember to get out there, get uncomfortable, and be great.
Thanks for joining us today. Be sure to tune in next week for more business and marketing info and insightful interviews with industry experts and design superstars. Can't wait? Then head on over to wingnutsocial.com for more great content to help you get your business to the next level.
Have you forgotten how crazy I am? Because you're gonna get reminded. That's it. If you make any bloopers, are you okay to be in them?
Well, let's see what the bloopers are first. I'm not gonna sign the blooper contract until I have blooped. Bad phrasing. Blooper time.
Blooper time. Oh, is that permission to use that blooper?
You can have that blooper free of charge. That's just an entry-level blooper.
Good boy, Mango.